Oh, they work and take roll call.
Roll call, Director Sheldon, Director Meeks,
Here.
Director Bilodeau,
Present.
Director Whitaker,
Here.
Director Yeo, Director Mezqua,
Present.
Director Nguyen, Director Tran, Director Rowe,
Here.
Director Green. You do have a quorum of your committee.
Thank you. Are there any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
And do we have any public participation? Anybody wanting to address the committee today? All right. We'll move on to the consent calendar. Items one and two. We have any discussion or motion on those?
I'd be happy to move approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
All right. Thank you. Roll call vote.
Roll call, Director Meeks.
Yes.
Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Mezqua.
Yes.
Director Rowe.
Yes.
That carries 5-0.
Thank you. Item number three is an amendment to the lease, the NSM Golf, Island Golf Center at Burn Basin for a 3-year extension. We have a staff report.
Yes, a brief staff report, Chair Meeks. I've asked our property manager, Daniel Park, to give a presentation or present this to the committee.
And this is an Anna.
Yes, it is. In there.
Bruce, good afternoon, members of the board. District has a lease with NSM Golf to operate a golf driving range on the southerly portion of Burgess Basin. Lease expires September 30th. NSM is requesting a 3-year extension to this lease renewal. NSM Golf, they put a substantial investment into the property and including a full service kitchen. It's really lightened up the property. So it's proved rather successful for the last couple of years. So at this point, staff has no objection to the 3-year lease renewal. However, there's a matter that must be addressed by the board regarding the CPI increase. Last year, the board put a hold on the annual increase. So staff is recommending that this CPI increase resume as stated in the lease. That's going to conclude my report.
See, Ben Carrata is the proprietor.
Oh, okay.
He wants to say.
All right. Mr. Carrata, do you have any comments or anything on this item?
Hi, guys. Not really. Thank you, Daniel. I appreciate you kind of recognizing all the work that we've done here. And we just want to keep doing it, what we're doing. Sorry. Yeah, we like working with you guys. It's been a fun project over here. As some of you may know, the place was very run down. And we've enjoyed kind of bringing it back to life. The community has responded. And it's a very popular family friendly place to go. And we just want to keep doing what we're doing. And we appreciate you guys considering allowing us to continue our work.
Questions from committee? Yes. There? Your motion?
Yes, I was the move director.
I'll be happy to second
it. Roll call, Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Yeo?
Roger, you're muted.
Director Mezqua?
Yes.
Director Rowe?
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
Okay. Item number four, California Department of Transportation, Caltrans, property at Burris Basin and Gentry Gulf, the island's center lease hold. So we have a staff report on this?
Yes, we do. I just wanted to just show an aerial of the what we're talking about. This is actually at the Islands Golf out here, and there's a portion of Caltrans property that actually comes off of the freeway on ramp and actually into the basin and part of the district's basin, which is under lease with the Islands Golf. It incorrectly said Gentry Golf, but they're now NSM Golf. And so the staff has been working with Caltrans on a decertification project to try to have this land decertified so that then the district can acquire it. And about 2 years ago or so, Caltrans put a hold on the decertification process because the city of Anaheim was going to conduct a traffic study on Ball Road related to the SUI project. I have since also spoken with city of Anaheim staff, who advised me that there were no impacts on the on-ramp associated with the OC by project, and they'd be willing to talk along with us and Caltrans to talk that through with them and bring this decertification back to the table and try to pursue it. Now, while all of this is going on, Caltrans has told us that we've been under a rental agreement with them, an aerial rental agreement, for approximately this area of property here, which back in 2020, I think, was the last board approval of the agreement. And then we went into a holdover. We haven't brought it back. Caltrans hasn't pushed it until recently. Now they're kind of being forced into having to go into a longer-term agreement with us on that property until this decertification is resolved. So they have submitted a draft lease agreement to staff. We're reviewing it. We sent it to legal counsel. Most of it looks like it's pretty much very similar to the prior agreement. It just would be a three-year agreement. So we just need probably another back and forth on that. They are proposing a rent of $1,141 a month with 5% annual increases. The recommended action would be to approve or authorize the general manager to negotiate and execute a new three-year lease with Caltrans for that piece of property at a rate beginning at $1,141 a month. Of course, that lease would terminate should it be decertified and then the district acquire the property or a portion of that. Please my report.
Sorry, on the property that sticks out into the
right here. So this is another one I'm working on. In fact, I've been emailing with Ray Saldana at the city. This is a portion of abandoned Ball Road. It was actually abandoned across the river as well. And the district had an agreement with, at the time it was the county, that the abandoned road would revert. When it wasn't an agreement, it was in the minutes, but I never found an agreement that the abandoned road would revert back to the district. What ended up happening is it was abandoned across the river. This parcel here, which was flood control parcel, was then deeded to the district. But this looks like it's a remnant parcel. Caltrans says they don't believe this portion belongs to them. In fact, they don't even think this portion belongs to them. So what I'm reviewing, we had a title report done on this. Went back to the county has said, no, this was annexed back in 2002, whenever the annexation was in this area, and that now this reverted to the city. So what the city's telling me what we need to provide next, and this is just a week or so ago, is we need to go out and get a survey, plot that piece of land out, and then I believe we'll pursue the city quit claiming it. And I think that Caltrans will claim it too. This is a matter of relinquishment. So it's really, and it goes, and I've searched the records we have. I've searched musty old boxes. It's a period of time in the 70s that those things are not very clear.
Passive development in the county.
Yeah. And there was a lot going on at this basin too because of the floods from 1969 and the condemnation that the county and OCWD were involved in at the time with the granite floods. And the flow of the river was beginning to undermine the homes that are on the northwest side of the basin. So there was a lot happening at the time. And that's when all the agreements, the flood control went in place here with the river. So we're working, but we are working on that, okay. Trying to.
Yeah, it seems.
Yeah, trying to get that resolved. Just slow. It's just not, you know, it's slow and difficult.
Oh, yeah. The records probably just aren't even there. Yeah.
Right.
Abandon something, and if the deed doesn't get recorded, it's just abandoned.
Yep.
So. And then on the property that we're working to decertify right now.
Yes.
That point that comes very close to the on-ramp down here. Yeah.
Right there.
Your cursor is.
Yeah.
I mean, are we going to acquire all that or just that yellow part?
Okay. Yeah. Here, this, screw this on here. So there's a few different options, but Caltrans wants to actually, they'll probably end up retaining.
Okay.
If this happens, they'll retain a portion of this. I did challenge them in a letter to the director of the, I don't remember which number, if this is 9 or 12.
Well,
12. I went and looked at their 10-year plan. They have no projects that affect the summer ramp. I went and looked at OCTA and OCTA's plan. They have no projects that affect the summer ramp. So I put that challenge out there saying that you can't, because originally they were saying that, well, we may widen the on ramp at some point, but they have no active, they have no project.
Right.
Stating that. So. So
what were the zones you showed before, like different slopes?
Yes. There was a, we originally requested decertification to the fence line. So there's a fence here.
That's the blue line?
Yes,
the
blue line. Caltrans was looking at different slope factors and where to decertify. You know, of course, we'd like to have as far as we can, because besides being the driving range for the golf course, is also how we need to access the side of the basin and get over here to district vehicles, which we need to go to the side of the basin. So, like, so Caltrans was looking at drawing a line at the 4-to-1 slope, at the 2-to-1 slope, and then carry to the fence line. But right now, this is just all on hold, and I'm just trying to get the
right now, we're just looking at decertification.
Correct. And in the meantime, we're required by the state to rent this in a rental rate on it.
Okay.
Director, you have a question as well.
Director Yeo, you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Chair Meeks. This, Bruce is accurate in describing the situation that we have with this piece of property that belongs to Caltrans. We were very close in getting it decertified, but I think there was an engineer that pointed out that, hey, we might need it for the future. But Bruce did do his research, and as he indicated that there's really no projects on Caltrans' book for the next 10 years. But since then, you know, Anaheim OC Riverwalk project has surfaced and is in development right now. So I'm thinking that maybe we ought to take a look at that environmental document to see whether there is any traffic mitigation as relates to this on-ramp, so that we can have a bigger conversation to see maybe the certified portions of the property and come to a mutually beneficial solution there. But in the meantime, I think the staff's recommendation is prudent that we continue with this nominal fee of this lease so that we can continue the conversation. Thank you.
Are there any other questions, comments from the committee? All right. I think I agree with the Rio that's a good way to go right now and work through all those other issues and where the line should be and
so I'll move the recommended action, and I want to thank Bruce for negotiating with Caltrans on this. I think initially Caltrans was charging commercial rate, right? As if this is commercial zone, but we're able to negotiate it to something that you see there. So
originally they did, yes, that's correct. They wanted to.
Yep. All right, can we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Quicker or Ms. Brown? Whatever first. Okay, roll call. Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Amezcua?
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0. Okay. Now, proposed cost share agreement with the City of Orange to replace the damaged wall along the Santa Ana River.
Yes.
Staff report on that?
Yes, I do. Thank you. The committee will recall back in June, staff brought this item to the committee for consideration. There's a wall along East Riverdale Avenue in the City of Orange, about 2,000 linear feet, old center block wall. The city has asked OCWD, as the adjoining property owner, to help fund replacing that wall with a chain link fence. The city would tear down the wall, and then the district would help contribute 50% of the chain link fence cost. At the time in June, the committee directed staff to go back to Orange County Flood Control, who has an easement, their channel easement with the district that incorporates that section of the river and is used for recreational purposes. We went back to Caltrans.
Need help in a drink.
We went back to Flight Control and discussed it with them. And as Flight Control, as the committee can see by the letter attached to the staff report, has no interest in participating in a cost share or helping to fund replacing the fence. The committee had also directed staff to go back to the city and discuss possibly just tearing down the wall and not having any wall at all. However, we're advised by the city's public works director, Christopher Cash, that that would not be a very favorable thing to do. The residents across the street, across Riverdale, like to know that there is some type of barrier, whether a fence or a wall or what have you, between the river trail and the community. So that sounded like that was a no-go also with the city. So at this point, staff is bringing it back to the committee for consideration. Should the committee and the board decide to move forward with the city's wall replacement proposal, staff recommends authorizing the GM to negotiate and execute an agreement with the city in which the city would pay 100% of the wall demolition and the district would pay 50% of the fence replacement, not to exceed $80,000. Staff is looking for direction.
$80,000 is based on the chain link fence estimate?
That's correct.
And as you know, if the City of Orange has taken that to the community yet, as far as letting them know that's what they're proposing?
I don't know. I don't have an answer. And I don't think so. Chris Cash is on the meeting.
That could be a 2,000-foot entry to the
track.
Yeah. Do some little parking lot there and what their bicycles get on.
So as I've shared, I know that the community, they put some sort of barrier there just because there's almost activity along the river. They'd rather not allow them to have unfettered access. You could park along the curb line there. They don't want people to have access to breaking into cars and things. And just personally, I think that since we're the adjacent property owner, we probably do share some responsibility to work with our neighbor, the city, to try to put something up. And the city is going to completely fund the removal of the existing cinder block wall. I think they're just going to leave the footing there. You know, chain link fence will be put directly behind it, next to the footing. So it seems reasonable to me. And the cheapest outcome that we can hope for.
We also be responsible for ongoing repair of maintenance replacement.
No. No, I'm sorry, and I left that out. The city said they would accept the responsibility for maintaining the fence, and we would make sure that any agreement we have with the city,
That's really good.
Yeah.
And should we take 50% of the cost?
Wasn't the cost of the shared border?
Shared property line. You have 2,000 foot of frontage and they have 2,000 foot of frontage.
I think I'm fine with the 50-50 and the residents, push back and orange decides to change what kind of fencing it is, they'll have to come back to the community or board or whatever.
Reasonable.
Chain link's pretty cheap.
Doesn't sound cheap, but
I have
another option. Labor, probably putting
that up. Okay. Any other comments, questions on this one? We have a motion.
I'll move approval.
I'm waiting for a Rachel in a second.
Clarification on the motion, because the recommendation is to direct staff as appropriate. Is it to allow to authorize the general manager to negotiate cost share agreement based on terms presented in the staff report?
Yeah,
because there is no.
I can read it in the very last paragraph. I wrote the district.
Okay,
and reread that if it would be the committee's pleasure.
So that could be the motion, subject to negotiate by the general manager and subject to.
Yeah, to authorize the general manager to negotiate and execute an agreement with the city in which the city would pay 100% of the wall demolition and the district would pay 50% of the fence replacement not to exceed $80,000.
And this is
take on maintenance.
And this is strictly a reimbursement to the city. In other words, we don't do any of the contracting work.
Correct.
They provide all the contractual services. Everything else administering that contract.
Correct. That would be in the agreement and it send us an invoice and we'd pay it. But that would all be in the agreement that we'll draft it, that we would draft based on this court approval of that recommendation.
Okay. We have that motion.
That's the motion.
All right.
All that.
We have a second.
Got it. Got it.
I'll second it.
Let's
do a vote. Roll call, Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Mesqua?
Yes.
The item carries the 5-0. Have several informational items on the agenda. We'll start with item 6 regarding the district's Imperial Highway issue.
Yes, thank you, Chair Meeks. So staff will be doing like we did with Ball Road Basin years ago, where every month we bring it up as an informational item and just give an update. That way we keep people alive informationally. The Imperial Highway property, we're working with Adam Streeter on the boundaries. We're trying to understand exactly a couple of things. We're having some trouble with the title company, with Fidelity, who are working with us on this, and Adam Streeter on some of the boundaries. The title report Fidelity had provided to us did not include the entire assessor's parcel, which goes into the river.
And across the river, too.
It goes across the river, right. It goes to the other side of the river, which really isn't pertinent to looking at the actual piece of property in Imperial Highway. But there are some it seems like every time I look into something, there's all these strange things that come up from ancient history. So we're trying to understand why, number one, the title report does not include the entire parcel, but more important, title reports, assessor parcels, all show a large parcel owned by the district. And actually, parts of it are owned by the district, and parts of it are owned by Orange County Flood Control, including, it looks like, the driveway that's the access to the trail into the district's property. So I think my update for this month, I was hoping to have this nailed down by now, but it's still not, and we're still working with Adam Streeter and with the title company. As soon as we get some clarity on this, the next step will be to schedule some meetings with both the city of Anaheim staff and Caltrans talk about potential access routes and thoughts and ideas before we move on. And Adam Streeter is contracted with us to do that.
Okay. All right.
And that concludes my update on April.
I haven't moved into that second phase yet. Still working on final.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Okay.
Director Sheldon has a question.
Director Sheldon.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. In my research on projects in Orange County, I have found the Orange County Office of Archives to be very helpful in going back 100 years and finding property records, more helpful than I found from the title companies. So we may want to go there. It's right across from the Hall of Administration.
Right.
And
okay.
Person there's, I think our staff, I think Gene Ayala has their contact information as well. I can forward that to you, Bruce. But they've been great at going out back and finding old records. Thank you.
Thank you for that information.
Thank you, Director Sheldon.
Any other comments, questions on that issue? All right.
Quick question.
Okay.
With Adam Streeter, Bruce, do you know when they're going to provide us the work product in terms of, you know, they're working on different scenarios?
Well, first we're going to meet, I don't have a schedule, but we're going to meet with City of Anaheim and Caltrans before developing it. We're getting their input.
I still think the key to having access is having control of the parcel across Imperial and working with Caltrans and Anaheim to push the westbound off-ramp further north and creating a signal, as we were saying. But that's just me.
That'd be great. I think that's a great idea. It is a lot of money to move the both ramps.
Well, we'll definitely move talk to Caltrans then in the city about that option. That was a good option.
Yeah, and I know after we had pursued the decertification, then the city pursued it, but then I think that got dropped. So there's been a lot of decertification activity on that parcel. Yeah, I think they've examined it quite carefully at this point. So.
Nothing successful yet. So.
You know, you know. So that's all I got. Thank you.
All right. On that one, we'll go to item number 7, status update on the City of Anaheim's proposed OC Riverwalk.
Yes, there. I just have this as a placeholder on the agenda. There is no update this month.
Okay. All right, number 8, status update on planning remediation of former Prado shooting areas.
Yes, and this one we'll have Lisa Haney give a brief presentation, and I'll pull up. She has a presentation that we will share. Here. Yeah, I need to.
If you need to point, it's easier to just stick your hand there. Get through.
Out of the way.
It's a pleasure to be here again this week to give you a positive update on where we stand with our remediation project. As a recap from earlier, we had 2 sticking points. One was the definition of CAMU and whether or not our agency would be allowed to use that definition and move one location to another. So we have the former clay target range, which we want to move to the Pigeon Hill area. We have a sticking point there. Jeremy was excellent at finding other statutes and examples and formalized that in a letter to DTSC. They reviewed that letter, and he was still convincing in his argument that they decided upon further review to accept the definition for us to move into a CAMU situation. So that's a huge win. It was our biggest sticking point in moving forward on this project. Our second sticking point were the hauling routes for how we were gonna move from one location to another. I believe staff have proposed 2 routes to the board in the past. With further consultation with DTSC and their legal and our team and our legal, we have better defined how we can move the material from one place to the other. And we have been given very specific boundaries and instructions on how to do that. And I think with this clearer information, we would like to go back to our consultant and reevaluate our transport plan. So although we have proposed these two routes, we don't know that these are the best routes any longer. We would like to go and reevaluate that. The constraints are that we do it with the most straightforward route. They're a little concerned that we're meandering a little bit all over the place. We want as little habitat as possible, as do we. And they want to minimize any access to outside of our property line. So in order to move and be successful in our route, we would have to go on to Army Corps Property Road for brief moments of time. And they are going to allow that as long as we have an agreement with the Army Corps saying that they will not use the road or make that road accessible to anyone at the time of hauling. Now that is a key point, and that is something that we would have to negotiate with Army Corps. And I'm not sure what they will say at this point, but that's where we're hoping and intending to move forward. So we will look at our possibilities of minimal impact to habitat, a more straightforward path, and limited off-road access to the Army Corps of Engineers road. So we'll try to do it all on our property and see what that looks like. And then we'll see if we can have an agreement with Army Corps and hopefully go that route. That would be the easiest, fastest, best route for all parties. But we have a path forward, and I think that's the great news. Any questions?
Good news. Anybody else have questions?
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy.
Appreciate it. It was a team effort.
Just to point out, Madam Chair, what Lisa was talking about, the red route is, you can see it goes off of our property. In different, we're
several times,
yeah. several times, and that's core property. But the reason we like this, as Lisa said, is there's existing roads yeah. that we can use, so there's not as much environmental impact. The other option that we were studying was the yellow one that does, we are contained 100% on our property, but we're going to have to build crossings at the Santa Ana River and at Mill Creek, which would require additional, perhaps, environmental mitigation and permitting and the like. So getting them to agree to allow us to move forward on core property is a huge win. And hopefully, and I'm not sure whether we'll be able to do this, but also study maybe an offsite option. One of the things that DTSC was looking at having us do is take all of the contamination and truck it offsite to some disposal site, probably in a different state, which would have required going on the streets. So one of the options is perhaps we can find a way that would allow us to utilize city streets to be able to come around the back and even have less disruption. That may be a long shot, but I think at least having them agree to the red line along core property is good.
You have to have permits for that to go on the city streets?
There are two different situations that we discussed. One was they don't want to do the yellow line. No one thought that was a good idea to destroy habitat. So they definitely wanted to take that off the table. The red line is where we're at right now. The situation is either do we do a CAMU or we not do a CAMU. If we do a CAMU, part of the definition of that is that you stay on-site, right? That would preclude us from going to existing roads outside. Now, they're willing to bend the on-site definition slightly. Interpret that to allow minimal offsite. But we have to prove that it's minimal and that there's an even rationale for it. Now, if we don't do a CAMU, we choose not to go that route, then we can use city streets all day long and go out of state. But that's opting to not do a CAMU entirely. So that would be the difference.
But what if you go on city streets and just come back your own.
That would not meet the definition.
You have to have exclusive control. That's the issue. And so with the Corps, we could structure any kind of an agreement with them so that we're the only ones using it. We have a license. We're the only one using it at that time.
Got it.
On a city street, that would be awesome.
Right.
Okay, so I shouldn't have opened my big bad mouth. But the original thing that we wanted to do is exactly now what we're being allowed to do, because we wanted to move the contamination, have a single CAMU over on Pigeon Hill. What DTS was saying is, now if you're gonna, you know, you can't do that because the two are separated. You got to have a CAMU here and a CAMU there. So getting them to agree to a single CAMU at Pigeon Hill was a huge win. And then also allowing them to go along, or to at least consider utilizing the route shown in red, is a huge win also. I mean, that's where we originally were. At the 11th hour, they threw things in front of us and said we couldn't do that. And that's where we got legal involved and had a meeting with them. And Lisa did a great job, and her team, and Jeremy, in being able to get us back to where we were originally started.
Is there going to be a problem getting permission from Army Corps? Do they use this area much?
No.
We're like that with the Corps, right?
Okay.
It's in everything.
And we didn't understand the difference of going using the city streets until we had this meeting, and they better defined the boundaries of county versus not county. So that provided a lot more education for us and our boundaries of what to do.
So what is their definition of CAMU that's changed?
It means that you're completely staying on site, and that means the hauling and the material.
They originally took the position that those two, so because in order to be a CAMU, it has to be in a contiguous lake, right? So what does contiguous mean?
Oh.
So they said those aren't, they were looking at contiguous parcels.
Right.
Contiguous parcels are different than contiguous property. Because this is contiguous, even under their definition, it's contiguous property. Because it's continuous, right? It's one continuous parcel. So I'm sorry, one contiguous property. So they were looking at, yeah, that was the issue. I think they got hung up on it being far apart. But when we actually went dug into the regulations, it's like, okay, well, I actually agree with it.
Okay.
Well, the red route appears to be more than twice as long, right? And how many loads are anticipated to be transited?
Cubic yards, tons, how many?
I think this is where we go back to our consultant and we start asking these questions and dive deeper. We weren't putting the time and money into that until we could get these two barriers. And we want to reevaluate, is there a faster, quicker, more convenient way with the existing roads as well? I'm not sure that there are.
No, we have identified the amount of cubic yardage, but don't have that off the top of our heads right now.
Yeah.
We can certainly provide that. It's been in prior staff reports.
Okay.
We should have had it this one, I guess.
Sorry.
One of the things we'll probably need to do as part of reevaluating what the route is try to just minimize, and DTSC said, hey, listen, to the extent you can minimize the amount you're off your property, that's cool, right? But we understand that you may not be able to do it entirely, and then as long as you get an exclusive use right for whatever part you have to be off, then we'll work with you.
Yeah, since this is informational, there wasn't a staff report along with the agenda packet, but we have presented this before in the past a few times. We'll put more of a staff report together, even if it is informational, just so that we have that information available.
It wasn't quite like this, though. Reports before weren't quite like this before, were they? I don't remember.
They
pretty much the same, I thought.
Were they?
Pretty much. Yeah.
It looks different to me for some reason.
And we're not talking about a tremendous amount of material either that we are transporting from here to there. Remember, we wanted to remove this material.
Right.
It would allow the land to be developable. And so we're proceeding along those lines.
Any other questions or comments on this item?
Good job tangling with those agencies.
Yes, definitely. Good update. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so items to agendize for consideration at a September 6th board meeting. The leases that we report, but nothing additional, right?
Would be items 2.
Any actions that require approval will put on the consent calendar.
Okay. All right. And I have no director's comments or reports. Any general manager's comments, reports?
This general manager has no reports today.
No, sorry. Okay. Then we will adjourn. Thank you, everybody, for being here.